Episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today, St. Paddy's Day of 2021, with a very special afternoon edition where we are hosting our good friends from NetAlly, and we'll be doing some updates, talking about the tools and some things that have happened since our last visit. We last had NetAlly on all the way back on show number 250, February 19th of 2020. So it's been a year, and I said it's time to get them back on. And this time we have somebody new. Now, he's not new to NetAlly. He's just new to us. And I am talking about Chris Armstrong, the senior systems engineer over at NetAlly. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us on, Marvin.
All righty. So I know that I said that you're not new to NetAlly. You actually have been with them for quite some time now. I think this is year 11?
This would be, yes, year 11. I've been around for a while.
Okay. And you're, so senior system engineer, I guess we should probably describe what that is, because that sounds like you're in the trenches with the tools, right?
I am indeed. So I help out our sales team and also our technical support team on a regular basis. With anywhere from, you know, demoing of the products or trying to figure out what the right product set or solutions are for our customers. And I work directly with R&D as well, giving them feedback on comments from our customers and hopefully helping them direct the direction of our products going forward as well. So,
all right. Sounds interesting. Sounds like you could be in one of those positions where you hear a lot of stuff where people ask for, hey, I wish it could do this, right?
I do. I get those quite a bit. And it's nice because we have a very responsive R&D team. And when it makes sense and when it fits, you know, we get it on the roadmap. So,
all right. Now, when you started, so you were back, let's see, if we go 10 years. So that was back when it was still with Fluke.
Correct.
Now, could you have imagined coming this far in the handheld tester arena that we would be doing all the things that these tools can do now?
No, I'm actually rather surprised at some of the things we can do now. I never thought we'd see the day where we could have an Android operating system on a, you know, a handheld embedded tester. And that, you know, allows us to extend functionality beyond, you know, just our specifics. I'm really surprised at some of what we have accomplished over the years.
Okay. Now, I did mention earlier, the last time we had somebody from NetAlly on was last year, but a couple of weeks ago, we actually had Mike Panacki on with a network protocol specialist, and he and I did a show where we talked about VLANs, and then we did reference some NetAlly tools. But did you see that podcast, and did you have any thoughts about it?
I did. I watched that one, and it's always good to see Mike Panacki out there talking about networks. He's very good at it. He's very embedded in the community, does a lot of training for us as well, and you know, some very good points that he made about VLANs and troubleshooting them and, you know, where they actually come into play. So,
all right. So I can tell you this. They have come in quite handy when I've had to deal with situations in the field where, you know, I'm trying to validate stuff. And actually, just this past weekend, I did a internet and phone installation with a provider. And we once again ran into trouble where we were trying to push DHCP from our firewall through their phones to our computers. And the activation tech on the phone was saying that everything should be working, but I had my Etherscope with me already set to test all the VLANs and was telling him, nope, it is not working. And I could even tell him, I don't even see packets for VLANs passing across. So that was something that's very nice. And you're right. Years ago, I would have never thought that I could do that with these tools.
Yeah, our VLAN monitor on the main screen, sorry, in the auto test screen, especially when you're connected into a Cisco trunk port or tagged port, pretty much everybody else, right? It's a very powerful tool. Not only is it giving you what VLANs are currently configured on that particular port, but what is the traffic load, and are we seeing the expected or the anticipated VLANs on that port?
Right. Okay. So let's start with, I don't want to say announcements, but what types of things have changed in, I guess, the last year? Now, the last time I had Ned Alley on, we were talking about the introduction of the AirMapper stuff. I know that that's out now, but, you know, what types of things have changed in the last year?
Yeah, so a lot has changed. We have obviously introduced AirMapper. AirMapper is a really powerful tool. It takes the long tradition of troubleshooting your network by looking at the signal, the noise, et cetera, through the raw data on the screen, but it now makes it visualized. So we actually get to visualize our wireless networks, and we have many different filters to filter down to specific data points that you're looking at from a noise perspective, SNR, co-channel, adjacent channel, TX, RX data rates, et cetera.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Anything else that we want to talk about before we get into the...
I think the other big thing that we had recently is we also brought out topology mapping. So now you can push your discovery up to Link Live, which is our complementary cloud offering that we offer with all the tools. And when you push that discovery database up, you can get a topology map of not only your physical network, but your wireless network as well. So what clients are out there, hosts, switches, routers, SNMP devices, et cetera. So you get a big picture of what's in your area.
All right. So why don't we go ahead and get into that? We can talk about, I'm getting feedback here. I want to make sure I get that stopped. Okay. Let's go ahead and talk about all the tools out there, because I want to make sure that we hit all the tools, because while some of them have changed, others have not. And I thought I put together a little video stuff. So we've got tools like the Link Sprinter, which is the smallest device and does your basic frontline troubleshooting.
Correct. Yeah, Link Sprinter is our smallest device, definitely frontline troubleshooting. Very useful. Colleges love it. Hospitals do as well. So if you just need something really quick, hey, let me plug this device in and look at the LEDs. Did they all light up? Did I get PoE? Did I get DHCP, that sort of thing. Link Sprinter really fits very well in that case.
All right. And there is a picture of the Link Sprinter that I've thrown up there on the screen. And then we move over to the Link Runner. Now, the AT2000 is a product of the Link Runner family. And this is still out there. And from what I understand, this is another basic cable tester with some added functionality, right?
It is. It's still one of our most popular tools. Been with us ever since the Fluke days. Allows us to do that auto test that you do with the Link Sprinter, but you have the UI, and you can add additional test targets to validate specific sites, services, websites, et cetera, are operational. What switch port are you plugged into? And you can do some basic cable tests in terms of, look for split pairs, crossovers, reverse opens, distance defaults, things like that in terms of your copper world.
All right. And I want to be sure to reiterate the fact that these testers are not certifiers. This is not something where you're going to be able to, present to the government and say that these cables are certified, but these are testers and validators.
That's correct. Yeah. So we'll validate the goodness of the cable in terms of, are the pinouts correct? Not necessarily, does it meet Cat 5, 6, 7, or 8 standards?
Okay. So for us, people like me who are just, we're there to manage the network, this will just tell us, hey, can you work on a network cable with this tool? So,
correct. Yep.
All right. And the next, the Link Runner G2, this is one that I have. And this, again, is a step up.
Yeah. So the Link Runner G2, when this came out, this is a big change for us, right? This is that shift going from embedded operating systems over to an Android-based operating system. And here we have many of the same functionality, well, all the same functionality that we do of the Link Runner AT. But we also add the VLAN monitor in there. And then with the Android operating system, you get some usability improvements just in terms of if you're familiar with Android or iOS, you're probably 90% there in terms of usability. And then we also add the ability to add third-party applications. So for camera security systems, access controllers, things of that nature you can add.
All right. I tell you, one of the features I like is the flashlight and camera.
So. Yes. The camera is very useful. You know, you get to go out and when you're on site, if you need to take a picture of something, it's right there ready for you. And what's really nice is you can take those images and you can attach those to your auto test results, and those stay with your auto test inside of Link Live.
All right. Next up, the Link Runner 10G.
So this is actually a fairly new product. Let's see, this is about 4 months old now, I believe it is. This is basically the wired version of the Etherscope, which we'll talk about here momentarily. But here, again, we're building upon our Link Runner AT, our Link Runner G2, with our auto test capabilities. We're also adding in the ability to do discovery of the network, so we can discover what devices are out there, organize those based on their types, so switches, routers, hosts, servers, etc. We also add in the ability to do a path analysis, so I'm sure many people are familiar with traceroute. That's going to give us our layer 3 hops from one point to the other, but when we look at path analysis, that's also going to give us our layer 2 as well, so we're going to see which switches we go into and out of. Basically, you know, what is the full path that those packets take to traverse your network?
All right, we'll talk about that. And then you already mentioned the Etherscope, but this here is the AirCheck.
Yep, so this is our wireless only tester. Here we're going to be looking at your SSIDs in the area, maybe not just yours, but your neighboring SSIDs as well. We'll break things down for you based on APs, BSSIDs, clients. We'll look at interferers. And if you have the later release version 5.0 or later, AirMapper is a part of the AirCheck as well.
Okay. And the tool that I think basically encompasses all of what we just talked about, the Etherscope.
Yes, so the Etherscope is really, if you take the Link Runner 10 gig and the AirCheck and you mesh them together, that is the Etherscope. So we'll get all the wireless diagnostics we get of the AirCheck along with all the wired that we have of the Link Runner 10 gig in one tool.
All right, we will talk about that a little bit more in depth, but I want to also add on this last little tool that seems like a afterthought, but the test accessory.
So this is exactly our test accessory. This is really a iPerf 3 server. So if you're doing iPerf tests, you want to do some performance tests, this can act as that server for you. The really nice thing about it is it can be powered over AA batteries or via PoE, and it's an instant iPerf 3 server. Just plug it in, and instantaneously you have an iPerf 3 server ready to go.
All right. So if you really want to validate traffic across the network, that's the way to do it.
Right.
Okay, so now let's move on. So out of those tools, I guess, what gets the most traction from customers?
You know, probably the Link Runner AT, and next to that, I would say the Etherscope. It's kind of interesting. The AT has always been by far the most popular tool. And I think that's just because in terms of if you want to validate, you know, quick connectivity, quickly validate your patch cables, things like that. The AT is super fast and just really easy to use. And then, you know, from there, most people usually start looking at the Etherscope, and that's because that is kind of that's everything all in one. So if you need to get past the port you're connected to, but you need to get a full visual of your network, Etherscope kind of brings everything all together for you.
All right. I can tell you this, I don't have every single one of these tools, but I have the Link Sprinter. I have an AT, but back from the flute days, so it's yellow.
Sure.
I have the G2. I have an air check, yellow, and I have the etherscope. And in my daily bag, I carry the Link Runner G2 and the etherscope.
Those two?
Yeah. And the Link Sprinter I keep in my documentation bag. So if I'm just walking into a customer, you know, I've got, you know, my USB drive with all my tools, my Link Sprinter, my paperwork, it goes in that bag. So I still have it if I need to do a quick connectivity test, but
sure.
But the big bag carries the G2 and the etherscope.
Yeah, and those two, I mean, I think they really give you the most functionality. I mean, you have either one of those tools. You have a lot of functionality when you walk on site. So,
all right. Anything else to mention about the tools before we move on?
I would say, definitely stay tuned. Later this year, we have some pretty big announcements coming here in May. So, if you have AllyCare currently, definitely keep up on those updates. You'll be very, very pleased with what's coming out here this in May timeframe. And then also stay tuned for about late Q3, Q4 of this year. We have some really exciting announcements coming. So much more to come from NetAlly.
Okay. Now, for people that want to see a little bit of, we're not going to do a full-blown demo here, but I've got my etherscope that I've connected to the network here, and I'm going to bring that up here and show that. I just want to show a couple of quick tests because people always ask about that, and that is not the screen I wanted to show. So let's go down here. So the etherscope, and basically the Link Runner 10G, the G2, and the etherscope pretty much all look like this, minus a few apps, right?
Correct. Yeah. The Link Runner 10 gig is actually exactly the same as etherscope. Same form factor, same exact apps. The only difference is it doesn't have the wireless piece. That's the only difference between the two tools.
All right. So if we had to basically go down the essential apps, I think you can't just put one or two there. All of these come in handy. And of course, we start with something like the auto test. And let me go ahead and click on that. So I've got this set up just to quickly show us. So we've got a wired profile, and then I've got three wireless profiles. So when you walk into a place and plug in, the first thing you're going to be able to do is verify your connectivity. And I've got this set up with a PoE test as well, because I plugged into a PoE switch. But you can see the PoE voltage, the link connectivity, your switch, what port you're at, testing DHCP, DNS, and a test out to Google if you want to verify that you can get out to the internet. Anything specific about these tests that we should tell everyone?
Yeah, would you mind drilling into the Google test?
Sure. There? Actually, let me do it this way. It'll be a little faster. So that there it is.
There we go. So I think one of the things to point out is with our what we consider user-defined test, in this case, it's going to Google. But if you point to other sites, so Office 365, Salesforce, et cetera, whatever you may be using for your internal applications, as we know, users typically say the network is slow, right? It's never that a particular application is slow or a particular issue there. It's just always the network is slow. And so one of the things we try to give you with some of these tests is, if a user is saying that connectivity to a specific site is slow, really, where is that? Is it the time that it took us to ping? Is it our DNS lookup time? Is it our three-way handshake? Or maybe it's actually transmitting the data down, bringing that website down, or maybe it's the third-party content with the videos and the ads and those sorts of things. So we try to give you an idea as to, rather than just we did a test and it took X period of time to get to the site, we try to give you a breakdown as to the different parts of it and where there may be issues.
So this came in handy this morning because I had some customers complaining that their website was down, and basically when we did our testing this morning, all I did was put all my customer sites in as test points. And, we got to the DNS lookup fail. And then, of course, found out that Network Solutions had a little bit of DNS issues this morning. So,
right, exactly. So you get to find those problems quickly.
Yeah. Yep. And I did it from here at my place because I didn't have to go over to their office to do that.
Which is also nice, right?
Yep. Yeah. And let's see here. And the switch port. Now, if you have managed switches, this is always nice, too, because not only can you get an idea that, yes, I'm connected to a switch, here's the port number, but you get more information about the switches. So as you can see, I've got a Netgear 4100 switch in there, and I've got a Zyzel.
GSM. And it sure beats the days of toning if you don't have to, right?
Right.
Much easier.
Yeah. And even gives me the IP addresses of those switches. So that's good. All right. And then I wanted to go back out. This is what I did when I was telling you about that issue I had on Friday where the internet service provider was supposed to set up VLANs. So this is a grouping that I made. And I could probably go out and show you that you can do, you know, multiple tests and group them together. So I've got all these different tests here. But in this particular group, I selected these four tests. So I've got a wired test. I've got a Wi-Fi test to my wireless system here. I have my guest Wi-Fi, which is on a separate VLAN, 20 to be exact. And then I actually have another Wi-Fi that's on VLAN 30. One of the things I love about this is I can come up here and hit start, and it'll do all four tests right in a row. So if I don't get greens on all of these, I can drill down. And this is what I did when I set up the VLANs for that customer. And the ISP activation tech said, okay, we're good to go. Rather than me running around and checking computers and logging off and on, I just put my tester in here and saw how many green checks I got.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, right? So all of our tools, regardless of whether we're talking about the EtherScope or even the Link Sprinter, you can look at the color and immediately know kind of what's happening. If you get green, everything's great. All of your tests passed. Yellow indicates a warning and a red indicates a failure. So really just really looking at those LEDs on the Link Sprinter, you get that color coding or any of the other tests on any of the other tools, just knowing the colors will help you a lot.
Yep, and thank goodness my network is set up properly.
Everything looks great. Everything's going good. That's always a positive.
Yeah, but there's so much information you can get here because I can now drill down. I can see what my signal is. I can figure out what type of speed I should be getting. I got my DHCP server. I've got my channel and utilization, which is pretty nice as well. So I can look in there and, I mean, this is stuff you just can't do with your iPhone.
Yeah, even though you have a lot of wireless applications anymore for your iPhones and Android phones, you're still limited in terms of some of the channel data that you can see, utilization, things of that nature. Whereas, you know, here we're able to give you that full picture of your wireless network.
All right. So what's your next favorite app on the EtherScope that you like?
I think the next one is probably, well, my favorite is AirMapper, but I would say next up is probably Discovery.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Discovery is mine, where from the time you plug it in and once it does that first auto test, it actually goes out and starts looking for everything on the network.
Right. So, yeah, here we're going to discover your network. By default, we'll discover the broadcast domain that you're connected to. You can add extended ranges in to discover other subnets, and as long as we have a route to those, we'll discover those devices as well. What's really nice, if we have the SNMP community strings, again, it's going to be organized by your switches, your routers, et cetera. And one of my favorite sorts actually is sort based on the problem. So I bring any issues up to the top of the screen. And actually, looks like your network must be pretty good. I don't see any issues there.
I stayed up late last night cleaning it up.
There you go. Just for the podcast today, right? Yeah, so again, so we don't see any yellows here. We don't see any reds. So everything looks like it's pretty good just by, you know, quickly looking at our problems.
Yeah. I guess I should have made a problem so we could see it. Yep, there's all our stuff though. Oh, there's my new printer I got. Nice.
Oh, there we go. Yep, we got our interfaces. We're showing our SNMP stats down there below.
Yep. This is nice too. If you know you're getting in and somebody's saying, you know, something's down. Well, your SNMP can go, no, it's been up for a few days now. No, your printer's been up for 5 weeks, 4 days.
Yep, exactly.
The other thing I like about Discovery is when you drill down. So let's say, for instance, you mentioned, you know, you can do your sorting, but you can go in here and filter what you want to see. So right now, these are the switches in my office, and I can go into this switch here, and I can see all the VLANs that are associated with that switch. And when I go into interfaces, I can actually see which ones are up, how much utilization is on them, as well as which VLANs are associated to them. So on, you know, port 4, I can see I've got all the VLANs configured for that, and I can see that there are 6 devices behind that port.
Yep, exactly. And we'll also give you your MTU settings, so you know if you're running 9K jumbo frames anywhere, or if you're running just standard 15, 18 byte frames. Or MTU, sorry.
MTU, yep. So right there, 1518. So I had a friend call yesterday who is in another state and was having some network issues he was trying to hunt down. And he doesn't have any of these tools. And we're trying to figure out how to get into the server, how to get into the switches, and see if there's any bad frames or packets or anything like that. And we were able to find... Once we got into the switches, he had some high, so he had some CRC errors, and he had some large frame errors, and on one port, he had like 62 million oversized packets. And so at least he knew where to go look for that, but all I kept thinking is, man, if you just had an Etherscope there, we could have just plugged it in and found that.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really good to have your, you know, IT staff, engineers, et cetera, where you know the command line interfaces of switches. You know, that's still important. But what's really nice about, I believe, the NetAlly tools is, you know, time is money. And if you can quickly find a problem, it saves you a lot of time. And it points you in the right direction when you're troubleshooting.
All right. Now, you mentioned the air mapper. And... this is the first floor plan that I've uploaded, so I haven't used it very much, but what makes you love the air mapper so much?
So I like it that we get a visual of the wireless network. So, you know, traditionally, if you did a survey, it was really more of a valid, and still is, it's a validation, but it was more of a validation that you went in, you installed our UAPs correctly. And, you know, it was meant for the guys that were like Wi-Fi experts, you know, RF engineers, et cetera. They were just really experts. With AirMapper, we've simplified that process. And now we give you that the visualization of what's happening on your wireless network that just anybody can do. It makes it really simple. And it's really just a matter of, you know, like you've done here, you've loaded a map in. You know, now it's really just a matter of sit and start up on the top there. And if you're in a specific area, you just tap the screen, let it know where you're at. And as you walk the facility, you collect the data.
All right.
So, yeah, so exactly. So if you're right there at that point, you can see it's scanning here in a second, it's going to turn green. And then as you move along and you continue to walk, you would just continue to tap the screen. The important things to keep in mind is that you want your basically your circles there to overlap a little bit as you're walking. And anytime you change direction, you definitely want to make sure you tap the screen that, hey, I turned a corner. And I can actually bring up a couple of AirMapper maps and show you what that looks like.
All right.
So let me see if I can share here.
So while you're doing that, so I haven't gone in and configured how those circles should look. So what determines the size of that circle?
So that's when you set up your signal propagation.
Okay.
And your signal propagation is basically going to be your essentially how often you're going to tap on the screen and say, hey, I'm at this point or I'm at this point.
All right. And there is your screen.
All right. And we should be seeing my link live, correct?
We're seeing clouds and mountains and
okay. Ocean. It was the other screen. Sorry about that. Let me move this screen over real quick.
All right. I see part of your link live there.
And now we should be up.
Okay. There we are.
Great. All right. So here is actually some surveys that were done. There's various different ones here. And let me this will actually be good. So we'll pick one of these. So let's see here. Let me search for demo, and we'll pick up one of the demo surveys.
I'm going to maximize this and see if we can get more of the screen there.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and pick the Everett passive active here, and then we'll do a view survey. So this is going to go ahead and draw out that survey that we took as we were walking around with the Etherscope. And the first thing we're going to see is we're going to see this from a signal perspective. And we'll see, I believe on this one, if I remember right, this one's got pretty good signal coverage, so it should be mostly green here. There we go. So one of the things we see here is, so we're seeing it, looking at it from a signal coverage, and you can see over here to the left-hand side, we have our legend with our various different signal strengths. Now you also see the arrows. So remember I was telling you that if we, as we tap on the screen and make sure that we tap as we turn corners, the arrows are indicating the direction that we were walking when we took the survey.
Okay.
And if we tap on any of these arrows at any given point, you'll see over here to the right-hand side, you'll see the raw data that was collected at that particular point. So you'll see things such as co-channel, adjacent channel interference, what SSIDs are in the area, your TX, RX data rates, et cetera. So you get quite a bit of information here. And that's your raw data, right? So if we go back over here, and really we're looking at this from a signal perspective. So usually if we're looking at it from signal, what we're really interested in is our specific SSID. So if we go to our filters, we can turn all of our SSIDs off. We can come down here and we'll pick our specific one. CLRC, there we go. We'll apply that. And you'll see the map will redraw based on our specific SSID, and the data that is over to the right-hand side will also change based on that as well. So now if we tap on one of these, now we're seeing just the data from the LRC SSID. And one of the nice things here, this one is, let's see. Let's go ahead and turn on our values. And our values, this is going to show you the signal strength at each one of these points. Okay, so maybe this wasn't the best example because our signal strength is just extremely good. This is just unheard of. So, but if you were deploying a voice or video application, right, it's not uncommon that you're going to want like a signal strength of, say, neg 65 or 67, depending on which camp you fall in. I'm going to set it lower here just so that we can demonstrate because our signal is so good on our map here. So I'm going to say 42. And what's nice is, so we can put that in and we now know immediately where do we have a neg 42 or better signal strength. And that's all the green area. And then you can see where these darker gray areas are. We have signal there. It's not quite a neg 40, in this case, neg 42 signal. We can slide up the bar here a little bit. We can zoom in. And as we do this, we start to get an idea as to where our APs are, right? So as we really bring our strength in, now we know that there's got to be an AP right here. There's one over here and one over here. And that's just because we zoomed our signal strength in so far. And as I was saying, we do have the ability for additional maps as well. So we can look at this from co-channel, adjacent channel interference, noise, SNR, et cetera. So if we look at it from adjacent channel interference, what type of interference or how much adjacent channel interference do we have? And actually in this case, we're pretty good. It looks like maybe four in some cases, three. So most of these are probably just maybe the 5 gigahertz band where we have running at 80 or 160 megahertz or whatnot. But you can see quickly where we can, you know, now we get that visualization as to what our wireless network looks like.
All right. So if you've got to do a wireless survey and see what coverage they have currently, you just go out there with your tools, map it out, and here you go. And now this works on the AirCheck and the Etherscope.
That is correct. Okay. Yeah, both tools. And what's, you know, the both tools you can load in a map via your micro SD card or USB thumb drive. What's really nice is the Etherscope has a camera. So if you don't have a map, there's usually one on the Fire Escape. So you can just go over and take a picture real quick with the Etherscope and your map's uploaded for you.
Nice. That's a good tip, folks. If you ask for a floor plan and they don't have it, find their fire exit.
Exactly.
Okay. So now this is not an additional cost, right? If I remember correctly, this is, I mean,
that is correct. So AirMapper comes with the tools. So as long as, like I said, AirCheck, it's version 5 or greater. Etherscope, I think it was 1.3, I believe, is when AirMapper was released on Etherscope. So as long as you have the latest version, you have access to AirMapper. Now, what we do is some of the additional filters. So we kind of talked about some of them here. So let me bring the filters back up here. Some of these are tied to your AllyCare. So as long as you have an active AllyCare support contract, you have access to all the filters. If your support contract is expired, then you'll have access to the to filter in based on your SSIDs.
Okay. All right. Now, since we're talking about wireless, there has been talk of Wi-Fi 6. And I know that NetAlly has included Wi-Fi 6 testing as part of their tool set. But can you quickly tell us more about Wi-Fi 6 and what that's going to mean for us?
Yeah, so currently on the NetAlly testers, Wi-Fi 6 means we have visibility as to whether a access or network is capable of Wi-Fi 6. Coming later this year, we're going to actually have Wi-Fi 6 radios and software, and then you'll be able to connect at those Wi-Fi 6 data rates. One of the things I'd say is keep in mind, a Wi-Fi 6 radio is not needed in order to do a survey of a Wi-Fi 6 network. So it's really more about connectivity. And being able to do a performance test at Wi-Fi 6 data rates when you need those radios. So even today, even though we don't have a Wi-Fi 6 radio, you can still go out there, you can still do your surveys, you can still come and link live, you can still analyze those and see the details of what's happening.
All right. And but these surveys aren't going to tell you, you know, which signals specific, right? Not the B, G, N, whatever, stuff like that, right?
You can filter in on a specific 802.11 type. Okay. Yes. Yep. So here at our filters, let's see. Hopefully this one has one. I probably picked one that doesn't. Oh, actually it does right here. So here we know that in this case, we're advertising anywhere from B to AC. So we're advertising all but AX. So we can filter in on a specific 802.11 type.
Okay.
I think in this case, it's probably going to show very similar. Let's see what it does. So you can see here, you can add filters, right, to further build this out. If you want to look at it only from a specific band or specific 802.11 type or even data rates, you can further filter down the data here.
Sweet.
That's one of the things I really like, right, is it really gives you that visualization as to what does the air look like, right? We can't see it, but here we get that colored visual.
Well, this is something where one of the hardest things is when companies have, say, for instance, an entire floor of an office building and part of their office runs around the elevator or through a kitchen. And people are saying that they can't get signal here or there. Now you can do this air mapper and show them where they've got their interference and their strongest signals at.
Right, exactly. And, you know, speaking to that point, the Etherscope gives you the ability to not only look at this from a passive survey perspective, which is what we're doing here, but the Etherscope will do a passive and an active survey in one pass. So you just walk the building one time and you have your passive and your active survey. Now, the air check, it's a little more limited. You have to do either a passive or an active. You don't get to do them in one pass, but both capabilities are still in the tool.
Okay. All right. And I know we've done a lot here, but I want to do one more thing. You are in the Link Live app, and we should probably tell everybody about Link Live. If you have one of these tools, you sign up for Link Live, and what you did in terms of not only uploading the map, but all of the tests that can be done with the tools show up here in Link Live, correct?
That is correct. So Link Live is our complimentary cloud service, and it allows you to any of the test results from any tool. It doesn't matter which handheld device you have, the results can be uploaded to Link Live. So anything from like an auto test, if we go here, we'll see that there's multiple tests in here. We can click on any of these and we can see those test results. So if you have multiple customers, like in your case, you can put comments at the bottom of your test results before they're uploaded. So this belongs to customer X, and all of his results were grouped together. So then you can go back later, and if you need to print out a report, you can do that. We have our PDF reports. If you don't like the look of our reports, you can always export the data as CSV as well and create your own report. So we try to give you a lot of flexibility in terms of how your data is organized and how you're going to create your reports for your customers.
All right. And this works on all of the tools, correct?
That is correct. All of the handheld tools.
So everything from your Link Sprinter all the way up to the Etherscope, you can have all those tests up there and then sort them out and put them in customer folders, like you said, and sweet.
Yep.
All right,
very nice tool. Very powerful.
Chris, what's that bottom? Oh, those bottom two there.
Bottom two. Over here to the left?
Yep.
So this is the air mapper that we were just looking at. And then this one here is the discovery. So we had talked about topology mapping earlier. So this is where some discovery databases have been uploaded. And if we hit topology here, we'll see it draw out a topology of that particular discovery database. There we go. Oops. So we can zoom in or out here. So we can see all the devices in the area. If we see multiple SSIDs out there that have clients connected, we'll see those. You can see over here we have some clients that aren't connected. So these are probably probing clients. They're not connected to anything, but we did recognize and see that they're out there. And then we can filter in, you know, just like the other. So if we want to look at this just from our infrastructure perspective, we can say, let's look at our switches and servers. Let's see, routers. How about network servers? And we'll call that good just to make it easy to see on the screen. There we go. So there's our topology map. You can see the color coding follows with it, so within Link Live, and you can see our filter up here now at the top. And if we double-click any of these items, we'll see the data that was collected just before the discovery was uploaded. And finally, this can all be either saved off as an SVG file, so you don't lose resolution, or you can export it as Visio as well, and then further use that to document the network in question. So great for, you know, if this is ever, you run into a network that you haven't been in before and you're trying to figure out what's happening, you can go in, you can plug it in and get a quick visual as to what's out there.
This is fantastic. So I knew that that was there, but I didn't realize that I could go in and do all of the drill downs that you just showed and to be able to isolate out which parts you want to see and then export them is fantastic.
Yep. Very powerful tool. And this one is also getting a lot of enhancements coming up. So keep an eye out for that.
Oh, okay. Will do. All right. Anything else you want to show us while we're here in the Link Live?
I think that's probably the key points. You know, it really just the ability to do our auto test results, our discovery, and our air mapper. I think those are very powerful tools that are still to this day, I believe, are underutilized.
Very, very nice. All right. So that, I think, covers all of the tools, along with the Link Live and the new Wi-Fi 6 testing features. Is there anything that we missed going over everything? I know some of that stuff we just kind of glossed over really quick, but anything that you think we missed that we really need to go back to?
I think we covered the main features and products and what's happening next, I believe.
Okay. All right. So a lot has changed. You say that there's stuff coming up in May, so we'll be looking forward to that. And I also want to, let's do this. Let's tell everybody. So tomorrow, March 18th at 12 p.m., there is another tech chat, kind of just like this, where James Kokoska and Mike Panaki will be over at Bright Talk, and they're going to do probably something very similar to this, and they'll talk about the NetAlly tools and some of the changes that have come out recently. And now I got to watch to see if we did better than them.
There we go. Yep. See if we did better. Knowing James, he might even let a couple things slip. You never know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And knowing Mike, he'll probably watch this and make sure that he one-ups me. So, all right. So let's, I was going to ask you for people that want to contact you, but I can just do this. We can actually come over, and if you want to get more information on NetAlly, I've put the tickler at the bottom of the screen there. So if you're watching, you can see that. If you are listening to the audio, you would contact your NetAlly representative at 844-TRUE-ALLY, and TRUE is spelled T-R-U, and then A-L-L-Y. The number, if you don't want to try to translate the spelling, is going to be 844-878-2559. Again, 844-878-2559. To contact NetAlly directly. Of course, for those of you that have been questioning me about my tools over the years, you can always email me, marvin@podnuts.com. You can check the show notes, and I will have links to all of the tools, not only the information pages, but also if you want to purchase them on Amazon yourself. If you use the link on the show page, we can get a little bit of commission and say thank you for participating in the Podnuts Pro Show. And then I will do one more thing here where I will throw the NetAlly banner up there. While they are not an official sponsor of the show, I have to always say thank you for the things that they have provided for me and my company over the years when I purchased items, and then some things that they said, hey, why don't you take this and use it and tell us what you think, and, you know, talk about us on the show. And that's what I do. So thank you to everyone at NetAlly that has supported me, my business, and the show. Well, Chris, how was it?
It was great. Thanks for having me, Marvin.
All right. So there we are, folks. Chris Armstrong, Senior Systems Engineer at NetAlly. And if you've had to call in for any sort of support that got escalated over the years, you probably talked to him. So, all right, that's going to do it, folks, for this episode of Podnuts Pro. We will be back soon with another show. We will be continuing with the No Marketing Marv Presents. Our marketing shows, our next show will feature Matt Rodella from Tech Marketing Engine. So that will be our next episode. We hope that you join us here. On behalf of Chris Armstrong, my friends at NetAlly, I want to say thank you for watching and listening. And that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, holla.